The title of the message is A Neglected Remedy. A Neglected Remedy. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. These scriptures are not going to be on the screen today, this particular set. 1 Kings chapter 19. There's a Bible in front of you. And so 1 Kings chapter 19. And to set the stage a little bit, it's a story about Elijah. And great prophet of God, obviously. And in the previous chapter, in chapter 18, it's the story where he challenges the prophets of Baal to test by fire, have a sacrifice on the altar, and then whatever God answers by fire, that's the real God. Well, the prophets of Baal, they did almost an all-day thing, and nothing ever happened. So Elijah sets the altar back up that they had torn down and puts a sacrifice on it, even throws water on it, and so prays a brief prayer, and the fire of God falls from heaven. You know the story. Consumes the sacrifice, licks up everything, all the water, everything is gone. And so the people say, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And then Elijah does something. He has all those prophets of Baal killed. And so he's at the zenith of his prophetic ministry. It's just an unbelievable display of God's power and a breaking down of a God that is no God that people have been worshiping. And so we're going to pick up the story after that all happens. And in verse number 1 of 1 Kings chapter 19, it says this: "Now Ahab, who was the king, told Jezebel, his wife, everything Elijah had done, all that I just told you about. He tells his wife, and how he, Elijah, had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say this: 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.'" She's saying, "I'm going to have you killed by this time tomorrow. You're going to be just like they are. You're going to be just as dead as they are." So verse 3 tells us, "So Elijah was afraid." Well, I could understand that. This is a powerful woman, the wife of a king, and so he's afraid. And so he ran for his life. "When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert." He's trying to escape this woman's wrath, whoever she may be sending to find him. He goes a day's journey into the desert. "He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die." This mighty man of God is praying that he would die. He says this: "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. He was tired from the journey. He was weary from that all-day trek into the desert. But he also, because of the fear, he was really stressed. He thought he was going to be killed that day, and that's why he ran. But all at once, after he falls asleep under that tree, all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." Some of you today, you're dealing with things in your life and your family, and it just feels like this is just too much, you know? Some of you have lost a loved one. Some of you have different issues going on. You know what they are. God knows what they are. I know some of them, but not all, because we all deal with something, right? Everybody's dealing with something. We've all just gone through an unprecedented 2.5 years of COVID. And then on top of that, all the regular stuff of life that we have to handle, and the stresses and the cares, the pressures of life. No matter what your age, you've got things that you're stressed about, that you're concerned about. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So the angel came a second time and told him, "The journey is just too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, that second meal, He traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Oreb, the mountain of God. There, he went into a cave and he spent the night. 40 days of traveling under the strength of that second meal. It's amazing, a great miracle. And he goes to Oreb, the mountain of God, and he goes into the cave and he spends the night. And here it gets better. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? What's up? Why are you hiding in a cave? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars, and they put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying, and nobody else has it as bad as I've got it, you know? He's really feeling sorry for himself. And so the Lord says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. The Lord's about to pass by. So then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. We would think, man, in such a massive display, it's got to be God. The Lord has to be in that. But it says the Lord wasn't in that massive wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. King James says, a still small voice. A still small voice. That's the voice that we have to learn to listen to, learn to recognize it, and then learn to be obedient to it. The still, small voice of the Spirit of God. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, as the Lord had told him to do. Then a voice said to him again, same thing. What are you doing here, Elijah? What's up? Why are you hiding in this cave? He replied, I've been very zealous. Same exact words. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Jezebel is after me. She's sending folks out to find me and kill me. The Lord says to him, go back the way you came. Just turn around and go back where you came from. Go back to where you were. And he says, go to the desert of Damascus, and when you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And then this, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. To succeed you as prophet. At this time, we don't understand what's going to happen to Elijah, but we know later that Elijah's caught up into heaven by a chariot of fire. Amen? And Elisha became that prophet that followed in Elijah's steps. And not only did Elisha follow in Elijah's steps, but he prayed. He said, Father, Elijah, he said, I want to have a double portion of your spirit. And so Elisha's ministry was exactly double in miracles that Elijah had. A great, great story. We're not going to talk about that today. But then there's the verse 18. Skip down to that. God tells Elijah this. You think you're the Lone Ranger? I reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and all whose mouths have not kissed him. I've got 7,000 people in this country that are still serving me, the true God, and they have not bowed to that false god Baal. So you're not the Lone Ranger. You're not the only one. And so he really encourages him with that. Joni Yoder writes this. She says, I am often asked to speak on the subject of stress. And that's where Elijah was. Elijah was stressed, you know? He had that great move of God on the mountain. Fire fell, consumed the sacrifice. He gets rid of all the prophets of Baal. But then he gets threatened, and he flees for his life. He's stressed. He's worried. He's afraid. She says, I am often asked to speak on the subject of stress. I'm not an expert on stress, just an experienced sufferer. I simply share counsel from God's word that helps me live less stressfully and more restfully. I like that. Many listeners are desperate for any new insight I might offer. What blank looks I sometimes get when I make this particular recommendation. Here's her remedy for stress. It's a neglected remedy. Remember the title, a neglected remedy. And here's her recommendation. Get more sleep. Get more sleep. We're a sleep-deprived nation. I think we're a sleep-deprived world, especially in the developed countries. We don't get enough sleep. In their longing to deepen their experience of God's peace, they were hoping for something much more spiritual than that. Get more sleep. But I'm not alone in linking spirituality to sleep. A godly Bible teacher was asked to share the key ingredient in his own life for walking in the Spirit. He studied the Bible, prayed regularly, but his surprising reply was this: get 8 hours of sleep each night. That's how you can help yourself to draw closer to the Lord and be less stressful. This reply is less surprising in the light of God's initial remedy for Elijah's stress and depression. Twice, God gave him food and undisturbed sleep before gently confronting him on Mount Oreb. What are you doing here, Elijah? What's wrong? Amen? So let's talk about that. Now, there's a modern version. I want you to look at this picture. There's a modern version of that with this gentleman here. Being a pastor is not stressful, and that's Duncan, age 22. So that's where we are. You know, people are stressed. Sarah Young writes this in Jesus Calling. She says we sometimes ignore how exhausted we are. We just ignore that. We just keep plugging. We keep pushing. We keep doing. And we're human beings. We're not human doings. Amen? We need to be before we do. We need to spend time alone with the Lord, prayer, the Word. These are the real remedies for stress: prayer, the Word, faithfulness to God's house, memorize Scripture, quote it to yourself, you know, stuff like that. But we need not neglect this remedy, and that is rest, sleep. Cut yourself some slack and carve out time to get the proper sleep and rest. Kathy and I were reading something recently that it said that from 10 to 6 would be best. From 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. would be the best 8 hours of sleep because of the melatonin. It kicks in from 10 till about midnight, but especially in the early cycle there, from 10 to 11, but then all the way through midnight. But the real stuff kicks in earlier in that cycle. So 10 to 6. That's what we've just recently read. The other thing that Sarah Young says is we can worship the Lord by resting peacefully in His presence because rest is a form of worship. Isn't that something? Rest is a form of worship. Don't feel guilty if you have to slow down. Don't feel guilty if you need to take a break, you know? Don't feel guilty about that. It's really important. We worship God in our labor, but we also worship God in our leisure. Amen? And we need to have that balance. Got to have that balance. Here's a short poem by Fitzhugh. He says, when life is so busy and hectic and humming, you're uptight and frazzled and stressed. Slow down for a while and spend time with the Savior and be sure to get adequate rest. We need that. We need that to help us to relax. Jeremiah 31:25 says this, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. God wants to refresh us. He wants to satisfy us when we're feeling faint, when we're feeling weary. When I get back from New Orleans, the last two Sundays of the month, we're going to talk about our weakness, but God's strength. Amen? So I will refresh the weary, God says, and satisfy the faint. At this, Jeremiah writes, I awoke and looked around. My sleep had been pleasant to me. I like that. I like that word pleasant. My sleep had been pleasant to me. God wants that night's rest to be pleasant. Then Ecclesiastes 5:12, the sleep of a laborer is sweet. You know, someone that is more physically involved, a common laborer, normally rests better than some top executive, you know, because the top executive is stressed. You know, he's stressed. But that laborer, he's out there working, sweating, all that, and when it comes bedtime, he's ready to conk out, you know. He's ready to just conk out. So the sleep of a laborer is sweet. I like that word. Proverbs 3:24 adds this, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. When we lie down, God doesn't want us to have fear, you know. God is watching us 24/7. We don't have to be alert always to, you know, to try to be on guard 24/7. We can't. But God can. And so we have to recognize our limitations, our weakness, and depend on His strength. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. You'll lie down and your sleep will be sweet. David writes this in Psalm 4:8. He says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I like that. When we lie down, our sleep is peaceful. We're at peace, and because only the Lord can make us dwell in safety. And then someone once wrote, we can sleep in peace when we remember that God is awake. You don't have to cover it. We don't have to cover it in the daytime. But we definitely don't need to cover it at night. You need to sleep. You need to get rest. And just relax in His presence. Amen. Solomon writes this in Psalm 127, 2. He says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so He gives His beloved sleep. God wants to give you sleep. The enemy will try to rob you of sleep and rest because that will weaken you. That will weaken you. You're not at your best when you don't get a good night's rest. You know, some people respond, they can be cranky or they can be listless or they can be different things. But God says He wants to give His beloved sleep. And then I want us to turn to Matthew as we close with this morning. Matthew chapter number 11, very familiar. You'll recognize it immediately. And we're going to pick up at verse number 28. The subtitle in the NIV says it's rest for the weary. Rest for the weary. And Jesus says this to His disciples. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I like that. Not just a rest for your mind, not just a rest for your body, but a rest for the depths of your soul. Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody needs that this morning, and I believe the Lord's going to minister to you as we close. So that we just read, along with a good night's rest, is the remedy for the stresses of life.